Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello everyone and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host, and today we have got the lovely Kylie Atwell. And does that name ring a bell? Because it should do. She has been on before. She had her book called Find Your Purpose, Change Your Life. And now she has actually got a new one out. And as you can see, I'm halfway through reading it. And it's Imagine Your Ultimate Future. So we're going to have Kylie on today talking about this. And she's got a few other little things that she wants to bring forward. So without any delay, let's welcome on board Kylie. Hi, Kylie.
Hi, Susan Jane. Thank you so much for having me again. It's such a pleasure to be back with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Oh, it's our pleasure. Absolutely. It was so good the last time. We had to get you back again. And I like to do that for most of our guests. If they're bringing out another book or something else, we want to actually get out there and really show it and put it out to the world. But what made you, first thing I've got to say, which I was going to do in the intro, that when Kylie sent me the book, she sends this lovely little note that goes with a little handwritten note. It just makes it so personal and it makes you feel so connected. So I love that, Kylie. That's really, really good.
Beautiful.
But what started you off in Imagine Your Ultimate Future? I need to know.
Well, it's a long, long story. And essentially I wanted to share my knowledge and self-discovery learnings with others to really save them the time and the heartache that it took me in discovering my life purpose, and then going through that second stage of, well, okay, I know what I'm here to do now, but how do I actually start to bridge the gap between where I'm at now, so my current reality, into actually embodying that purpose? So I really wanted to, as I said, break the process down that I went through to make it really digestible for people, so that they're not only that they understood the actual theory behind why it's really important to start imagineering your ultimate future by actually creating a vision for your life, but also how do you actually do that? And what do those steps entail? So that's where where I'm coming from at it. But I remember going to a finance workshop when I was just out of uni, and it was, I think, for superannuation. And I remember them saying to me, you know, we want you to think about what you want your future to look like in 1, 2, 5, 10, years and at retirement. And, straight out of uni, I had no clue what I was doing. And they wanted us to write a list as to what that might look like, so that we knew how much money we needed in our superannuation to be able to like retire. And so I just wrote down this, kind of looked around the room and looked at what everyone else was writing, and then started just writing down this list, like, I want a house, I want a car, I want a job, or maybe even a business, and those types of things, a nice car, blah, blah, blah. And the thing about it was that I didn't actually put any real heart into it. It was just this list of material items that I thought would make me happy, that I thought, would make you successful, and that would set you up clearly for retirement. And by the time I was 28, I actually had achieved all of those things on my list. So I want to say that vision building and list making does genuinely work. But the thing is, when I got all of those things on my list, I just felt completely hollow and empty. And there was nothing heart-centered about my list at all. It wasn't about, anything truly about me. And I really didn't know myself back at that point. So that's probably obviously half the struggle. But by learning more about myself and then learning actually to how to build not just a vivid but a highly emotive vision for my life was the key. So that's what I learned many years later once I went through a whole self-discovery journey. And as I said, that's what I want to share with this book today. So,
wow. So yeah, that would be challenging to get straight out of uni and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, I'm still waiting to grow up, and that's why I haven't decided yet. But it'd be really challenging. And I know when, even at high school, when they sort of go, well, what do you want to do when you leave school? And you sort of think, hang on, that's my whole life. I don't want to put that into one little box. But
absolutely,
if you do it the right way, as an emotive way, you could put it into one box. If you look at it as a purpose, you can put it into one box, because it's not necessarily connected to that material world, is it?
No, it's all about the feeling. Like, how do you want to feel when you're doing work that's meaningful?
Yeah.
You know, how do you want to feel in a home that you live in? How do you want to feel when you're with someone that you truly love?
All right, so you've gone through the stage now where you've been asked to sort of create your future in a certain manner, like leaving uni and going that way. You've actually done that and then realised that, hang on, there's got to be more to life than this. So what were your next steps then?
Well, we covered a lot of this in our first interview, so I kind of probably won't go into it too deeply, but I went on a search looking for high and low, looking for absolutely all the answers. And at first I thought it centered around a passion, which is, I didn't know the difference between passion and purpose back then. So I threw myself into something that I thought, oh, I really love design and architecture. So I'll set up a business that manufactures spray metal finishes. And as I said, you know, went down that path, and only to realize that following a passion was, you know, it was a huge learning curve, and I learned a lot of positive things out of it, but I ended up emotionally broke and financially broke as a result of it. And it was such a disturbing experience, because I didn't trust my feelings anymore or my ability to make decisions. And it was clearly not what I was here to do. I mean, I believe that we're all here to contribute to humanity, and me, you know, putting metal coatings on front doors just wasn't it. I had a much deeper calling than that. So, as I said, it was an invaluable experience, because it really allowed me to hone in on what on earth a passion is, what is a purpose is, and to be able to define the difference between the two very, very clearly and very succinctly to be able to help others. But at the time, as I said, it was a very painful experience. So after that, I did a lot of self-discovery work and ended up having a life-changing trip that kind of just goes on and on. So I won't get into it. But I ended up about 16 years later, I ended up finding key resources that really changed my life. And a big part of that was how to identify your purpose and live with purpose, because that's the only thing that really gives your life fulfillment and meaning. And also, too, I learned about the subconscious mind and how powerful it is, and how it's really controlling, you know, us becoming a full expression of ourselves. It's controlling every experience that we have in life, depending on the programs, the messages that we received, particularly as a small child when we were the most influential. And I can talk about different levels of programming until the cows come home, but. Learning about the power of...
We want to go further ahead than that.
Yeah.
The programming that was more towards finding your purpose and between the passion and purpose, which we've already talked about, like you said.
Yeah.
So now we're going to the next step. So I've put that up so people can see. So it was Kylie's book, Find Your Purpose, Change Your Life. So you can look at that one, and that will get them kickstarted. And again, that's in the last podcast.
Yeah.
So from there, where did you go then?
Where did I go then? So really the next step is, and again, I learned a lot of this out of order. And so to be able to actually put it together in a way that's understandable for people, it makes sense to now describe it in this way. So once I knew what my purpose was, it was very tempting to go out and actually start. And I kind of did this at first, because I actually did identify my purpose, but I hadn't owned it about 8 years before I knew the next steps. And what I wanted to, as soon as I knew my purpose, I then started going, well, what can I study? You know, what can I do? Is there a job that I need to get? That kind of thing. And the thing about that is that, one, I didn't own my purpose, and also, two, I was actually trying to make it happen or step into it without actually having done the inner work. And the inner work is so critical, and that's where so many people make mistakes, because the minute they identify their calling, they say, okay, well, what uni degree do I need to go and get? Do I need to resign from this job and go and look for a job that's more purpose aligned? Or do I need to, you know, start a business that is, you know, purpose aligned? And so they start just taking these action steps without realizing that if they, the reason they're not living their purpose already is because they actually already don't have the subconscious programming that supports them in being a full expression of themselves. So it starts with actually going back and revisiting those programs and what we believe to be true about life and the messages that we received as a child. And so that's where I kind of made another mistake, is I tried to go out and look for it and make it happen, but it wasn't until I started to do the inner work and actually get really clear about, well, if I was living my purpose, what would that look like? What would my life look like? And that was when I had another massive breakthrough, because when I sat down and went through that process of, if I could wake up tomorrow anywhere in the world, where would that be? Who would it be with? What would the environment look like? What would the temperature feel like? All of a sudden, I could see my future, because I knew those aspects about myself that I already was very familiar with. They were things that I definitely knew about myself. And so that's when I realized that this, the vision building process isn't just writing this list of 1, 2, 5, and 10 years time. It's about, well, where would you wake up? And when you ground yourself in a new reality of waking up, what are you going to have for breakfast? What are the first few things that you're going to do? All of a sudden, this new life becomes very tangible and actually very real. And that's where I started. And then I don't want to say this, but I was actually supervising exams at the time, doing something completely unrelated to my occupation. And I actually was sitting there just jotting down notes and thinking, whilst I was, you know, supervising the students, just picturing in my mind those things about, well, if I had my ideal day, what would that ideal day look like? Rather than a whole life vision, it's like, well, what if I could just, you know, have the most amazing day ever? And it's not about it being a holiday or a birthday or an anniversary. This is just a quintessential day in your everyday life. What would that look like? And the minute I started sketching that out in terms of just like bullet points, when I finished that exercise and kind of, you know, said goodbye to the students, I was like, I'd been in a different paradigm. I could clearly see what that future would look like, even though at that point I hadn't clearly defined, you know, what my work day-to-day tasks or jobs would be. I just knew the feeling of what it would feel like if I was actually living my purpose, which I already knew. And that was an absolute game changer to me. I knew it was really, really powerful. And I remember speaking to my spiritual teacher at the time, and she tunes in and she can kind of like, you know, see your energy and future events for you. And she said, Kylie, the work that you have done on yourself in doing that exercise, she said, that's going to manifest because you've activated that vision. It's definitely going to happen for you. So that was very exciting and very powerful.
Absolutely. And so when you were doing this vision, it was just that one time. I know exams can be like a couple of hours long.
Yes.
You can really get into it. But did you do it? Like when I was doing mine, I tended to do it constantly, like every day or every couple of days, or, you know, really sort of got into it that way. But did you only just do it the once, or did it sit with you for a while?
Well, I did it the once, and I was so transfixed by what had happened in that moment that I kept revisiting it naturally. And then once I'd written kind of my list, I actually wrote a story about what that would look like in much, much more detail. And that's one of the processes I get, you know, the readers of the book to go through, is to actually write a creative narrative of what it would, you know, what your day looks like from the moment you wake up, and you do it, you write it in first person. And that really starts to engage the brain. It slows down the processing of the brain. You start to see more detail, and you really start to engage the senses more. So I wrote it, and I wrote it not multiple times over, you know, course of a short period. And I also just kept going back and envisaging it. What would it look like? I'd go back and read it from time to time as well. But what had happened was, because I'd activated such a strong feeling within myself, it honestly, that reality that I stepped into during that exam period felt more real in my day-to-day reality at the time, because I was so miserable. And yet this, and as I said, what I was picturing wasn't, you know, completely fantastical. It was just, it was so real and so me. It just really encapsulated everything about me. And as I said, that was why it was just such a relief to enter into that space. It was all those idealistic things that I would be doing, as if I had not a care in the world and I had all of the money, like all the resources at my disposal. And it's not about having bucket loads of money. It truly isn't. It's, you know, what I was envisaging wasn't, you know, astronomically priced or anything like that. It was just, you know, an incredible shift in the energy. And that's what made the difference, was the feeling that it invoked. So that's how it all started.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So you gave yourself the time to explore, really, didn't you? You gave yourself the time to explore your future and what you want and how you want it to look, and that, and engaging in that and really getting that feeling, that's what holds it all together. Because
it really
it's
does.
Not hard, yeah, it's not hard to revisit it. It just naturally comes up. It's similar to like a dream. You know, when you have one of those really strong dreams and you wake up in the morning and it's like, whoa, did I dream that, or was that for real? You sort of, yeah, you're not really sure. And for the rest of that day, it can flick in and out of your mind and really attract your attention. But when you're doing it consciously and it's not subconsciously in a dream, those feelings come back really strong and you can just slide straight back into that, I don't know, perceived reality, whatever you would like to call it, because it feels so real.
It does. And when you do it properly, it absolutely is so real. Because as I said, it's such a reflection of you and what you truly desire. It really connects with the heart. And for that reason, it is real.
Yeah. And there's no, and you don't question it. You really don't question it. It's just, it is what it is. And that's it. Yeah. And it's funny, but I've been having those, that sort of feeling recently, you know, where you sort of do something and you go, wow, that was meant to be. That's really sitting well with me. That's how I want to feel. That's how I want to be. That's what I want to achieve. And yeah, it just all sits so well. And it's almost like you're reliving that moment again, and you start to bring it into your future. So it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, it acts like an anchor, I think, because it really saw me through a lot of tough times. Particularly when I knew, well, that's where I want to end up, and where I'm at in my current reality is just a temporary thing. It's sort of like a stepping stone along the way. And I remember I was working in the events industry and, like, you know, frenetic pace, really high, you know, high profile events with, you know, a very significant position, let's put it that way, under extreme amounts of pressure. And I just did not have a moment to myself, as I was under the pump the entire time. And I tell you what, when I would go to the bathroom and actually just, you know, have 2 seconds to myself on the toilet, I would revisit that vision every time. And it felt like, it sounds crazy, but it felt like I had a little mini holiday, because by revisiting it, it gave me hope for the future. It anchored me in that future. I just knew, okay, the rubbish I'm putting up with today, all this, you know, this freneticism is temporary. I can do this because this is what's awaiting me on the other side. And it was interesting because I would come out of that bathroom in a completely different headspace. and different heart space, and I could literally tackle any challenge that came my way. So it's, yeah, as I said, it was an anchor to the future.
Right. And when you're talking about this, like this vision that you have and you're having, is that, you go through that in the book so people can learn how to do that?
I actually step them through the process, absolutely, of I provide a framework, and that's activity one. So I provide a framework of all of the elements that make up a typical day. So it's like, you know, waking up, having breakfast, you're going to need to do chores, you're going to need to go to work. You know, as I said, it's not this holiday. It's not some, you know, fantastical day where you're just doing nothing. Like, you're genuinely, you know, contributing to humanity. You're engaging in activities that you love. So I help them by creating that framework, and I prompt them as to the types of things they might want to be considering or thinking about. And it's even as simple as, you know, you have favorite meals. You know, there's certain, someone might just absolutely love Vietnamese or Thai, or, you know, it could be the fact that they love a home-cooked meal by their beloved. You know, all of those things you know about yourself already. So you're just starting to build, like, it's like you're sketching an image, and you start with the things that you know about yourself, and the things that, as I said, you know, you don't even need to know your purpose to be able to do this exercise, because, as I said, as long as you know kind of what that feels like, what would it feel like to do meaningful work, that's all you need to know. And so as you fill in this framework with more and more detail about yourself, and it's about incorporating peak experiences from the past. So again, it's things like, well, what activities do you used to love doing? So you might not have done them since you were a kid, but why not build that into your ideal day? You know, if it's horse riding and you haven't done it for 50 years, well, you know, why can't you have an hour long horse ride in the afternoon? That type of thing. So it's about, as I said, incorporating the things you already know about yourself, past peak experiences, as well as your hopes and dreams in the future, which is, you know, meaningful work. It could even be you don't have a partner in your life. It could be you just know that you want this divine life partner. You know what you want to feel like when you're with them. So you just imagine what that would look like, and start to paint that picture in there. You don't need any, you know, they're tall, dark and handsome or anything like that. It's just, you know, how does it feel when they hold your hand or look at you in a certain way? So it's just about, again, evoking that emotion. But I definitely walk them through all of that process to really start to flesh out what that detail looks like. And it's honestly not as difficult as you first might think, because, you know, Susan Jane, where in the world, if you could have anything your way, where would you wake up tomorrow?
Oh, tomorrow, I have to say a tropical island, because I just love that feeling of the freshness and the openness and the quiet. Yeah. And why I say an island, I love it quiet. I'm definitely more of an empath, of an introvert. I know I get out here and I talk, but I'm definitely more, I like my space. There's no one home. It's just me.
I love it. So already we know so much about you, and you can really anchor that future because, you know, you're waking up an island, so you instantly know what that would be like. I'm assuming that you might have views of the ocean. You might have palm trees. There'd be a beautiful breeze, so you'd know what the temperature's like. You know, there might be, you know, the island might be facing east or west or what have you. So is it the sunrise that you're seeing, that kind of thing? And then, you know, what's the room like? So you might just love the idea that it's really open and it's like almost like, you know, a tent outdoors, or it might be like furniture that's very tropical, you know, tones to it. So all of a sudden you can start to imagine that future straight away, and it's not difficult. And as I said, you know, you just keep adding to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And because we can do that visually, it's not hard to do. And there's no right or wrong. There's no one saying, well, you can't do that. It's like, no, it's my imagination. I can
exactly.
do it if I want. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's really good. There was something else I was going to say too, along those lines.
I want to say that it's about dreaming and dreaming big. Don't put any limitations on it whatsoever. It doesn't matter how many things you jam pack into that day. It does not matter. This is your ideal day, and it's just about getting everything that you love down on paper. And you can start to sub things in, you know, later on if you just want to, you know, describe what happens in one day. But if you've got multiple options, so some people might have multiple activities that they love, they can't decide which one and they only kind of want to choose one or two for that day, you sub that in. And that's what keeps your actual vision fresh. Because I know that, you know, for me, I love the hinterland. I did want to grow up on rolling green hills, overlooking the ocean in the distance with the mountains in the rear. And that will never date for me. But what I have for breakfast tonight,
South Wales, which is exactly part of my favorite area. Yeah,
exactly. That's never going to date for me, but my breakfast might, and the activity I choose that day might. So that's how you keep your vision fresh. And the idea is that, and this is where I think there's a fine line. So you want to visit the vision enough so that it's real. It becomes real, like literally at a cellular level. You embody it, but you don't want to do it so much that you're not that you're so attached to it that it becomes stale, that it becomes a chore, that you're literally doing, you know, I'm getting up, I'm you know, doing my envisaging work, I'm coming home and I'm doing my envisaging work, and that just doesn't become fun anymore. So it's about playing with it and having fun with it. And you know, I do talk about up until a certain point, you're going to need to visit it regularly, certainly right at the beginning, but you never want to make it a chore, and you want to mix things up a little bit again to keep it fresh. And also too, your vision can evolve. This is just a starting point. So it's like a canvas. If you don't like it, paint over it and start again. It's just about trying on numerous ideas.
Well, yeah, just as you were saying that, because I turn around and go, I'd love to be on the tropical island, but I don't want to live on a tropical island. I just would love to have a holiday at the moment.
Yeah.
So I get where you're coming from. And also when people that start to do their visualization, or when they ask, when you ask to do your goals, set your goals, it does become very physical. It's very, very like ticking the boxes.
Oh, yes.
I want my ideal man to be this tall and have this colored hair. And they say you need to go into details, but they forget about the feeling. And if you haven't got that feeling, it doesn't matter what another person looks like. If you haven't got that feeling and that is attached to it, then you haven't got a relationship.
And you don't.
It's and so important.
Yeah, feeling. So this is what's really interesting, because, you know, I know that they talk a lot about like the law of attraction. It's all about your thoughts create your reality, but it goes so much deeper than that. Feeling is the absolute key. Feeling is the activating force behind it. So you need to feel as if it's already happening, as if your vision has already come to life. You need to feel as if you're there in that moment having that experience. And when you do, that's when the magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you say, it's not just one thing. Like I can visualize myself getting out of this lovely bed and there's soft curtains blowing and I can see the ocean and the sunrise and it's all very beautiful, but it doesn't necessarily mean I want to stay there. That is part of my picture, and that's where I want to obviously go and holiday, because I love traveling, but I also want to travel around Australia in a caravan. So I can see myself setting up the little Barbie and, you know, doing card readings out of the caravan when I'm with the grey hair and everything. So,
perfect.
You know, as you say, it's all about the feeling, and I don't know where I am and I don't know what I'm looking at, but I know it feels right. It feels beautiful. And that's where you go, okay, let's dig into that vision a little bit more. And your book can really, really help in really digging down into that vision. So you might have a bit of an idea. And, you know, wanting to go on a tropical island holiday could be because the world around here is a little bit crazy at the moment. Or you can imagine the people in Victoria that are still in lockdown.
Absolutely.
The longest city in the world to be in lockdown. So you can imagine all they want to do is get the hell out in some way, shape or form. So that's if they can start to visualize, and even if it is a holiday to start with, it's the future and it gives them a taste of what they can do and how they can do it. It's almost like a test run. Okay, think about a holiday. Think about you want to do. Yeah. Have a test run at it. Yeah. And then once you get that, you can go, okay, well, that works because I'm a theory tester. Okay, that
absolutely
works.
Absolutely, yes.
I've done this. Then you can go, okay, how do I want my life now? Let's take that one step. So this can help. This book can help. You just start off at the basics, even if it's just for a holiday.
Absolutely.
Get going and then go from there. So that's what I really like about it. It might be your whole life, but it's actually imagining your future, or imagining your ultimate future. But we can start off on small chunks too if we want to.
Absolutely.
That makes it easier.
Yeah.
No,
that's all good. And I do mention that in the beginning of the book. I basically say that this can be applied to absolutely any goal that you have. So whether it be a new kitchen or a, you know, favorite, like a pet for the family, or as you said, Susan, a holiday. It's just about just applying the principles. But once you've got that vision, that's the key, because that's the activating force in terms of the emotion. But then you want to actually start to make it physical. So you're using the imagination to ignite the ideas, but then you want to actually start to bring that into reality, so that it actually starts to actually become physical, like becomes matter. And that's the next step. So the first couple of activities are really centered around, the first activity is painting that picture of what that might look like. And then the next activity is starting to write that creative narrative around it. Like, well, what would the story sound like or look like? And I don't want people to type it out or just imagine or write that story in their head. It's about actually putting pen to paper and actually writing a story about it, because that brings it again into physical form. And then I get them to take it like another step further, and it goes beyond a vision board. And you can create a vision board, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but one of the most powerful tools that I came across was software that allows you to actually create a movie of what your vision would look like. And the idea is that you build a movie that goes for about 2 or 3 minutes that captures the essence of what it is you want to achieve. As I said, it can be your life purpose, or it can be an aspect of it, or just another goal altogether. And so it's building a movie about what that looks like. So you're using imagery. You can use whether it be pictures or little bits of video as well. You incorporate affirmations into that movie. And the other really powerful factor of it is using sound. So the idea is that we want to start to engage all of the senses. So we want to engage the visuals, so words, images, music, sound, as well as even scent. And that's where I get clients when they're doing this work, is to actually using audio and aromatic anchors for their future. So we all know what it's like to hear, a favorite song that you might have heard years ago, and you're in a specific place at a specific time in your life, and that, you know, song pops in and just takes you back to that moment, whether it's the dance floor, you know, in some 80s club or what have you, and it takes you back there to all of those memories, and it happens in an instant. And scent is the same thing. Someone can walk past you, a perfume, or you can, you know, smell a flower that reminds you of a grandmother's place. Again, those tools, those sensory tools, really anchor you into a time and place. But instead of using them for past memories, we want to actually select music and future fragrances that anchor you in your future. So it's about building this whole new reality. As I said, using imagery and sound and scent, as well as words, and by going through that process, and it's a fun process creating a movie, and the idea is that then you have a visual that you can then watch and listen to, and as I said, burn, you know, the incense or wear the fragrance while you're doing it. And the idea is that you want to, it's almost like you enter the world of a cinema, where your outer reality no longer is the dominant focus, that your inner reality, that new future, then becomes, you know, the key focus of the moment, and watching that movie. And you know, you can watch that as many times of a day as you like, but the idea is to do that envisaging work when the mind is most susceptible to be coerced and influenced. And that's, you know, when you're still in a brainwave state where you haven't quite woken up yet. So first thing in the morning, the minute you get out of bed is ideal, kind of that first hour, as well as just before you go to bed, when you start to wind down, because your brain starts to shift, you know, into different brainwave frequencies. And even after a meditation or a little afternoon kindy nap, if you are prone to having one of those. So what doing that.
A kindy nap. Oh, we call it a nanny nap.
Nanny nap, kindy nap. Yeah. And you start doing that work. But again, it's about making it fun. So, you know, sitting there watching a movie is not so difficult. And, you know, when you are listening to a track that really, it's the music that really starts to evoke the emotion. And that's where it's that kind of, it takes it to the new level to what a vision board does. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with creating a vision board, because again, it's bringing you into that physical presence. You're actually going through and selecting images and words that represent that, that future that you want to create. And that in itself is a super powerful exercise, because it clarifies your intentions, but it also sends a really powerful message out into the universe as to, you know, what you want. And it's not about getting stuck on the detail. It's about, it's this or it's something better. But this is kind of represents it to the you know, my closest ability at this point in time, and just starting to build that vision and send that message out to the universe. So as I said, the part of the process is really bringing it into the physical. There's images, the words, the sound, the scent, and actually watching that video, is taking the steps to watch it every day. And again, it's not about it being a chore. You want it to be fun. The other idea is that you can even just play the music track during the day when, you know, you're at work. You know, you might sort of include it into your playlists, and then you know, it might play a couple of times a day, and the minute you start to hear that track, all of a sudden you start to think of that vision. So it's another way of you know, keeping that energy and future at the forefront of your mind, and reminding yourself that regardless of what you're going through right now, it is temporary, because what you're doing is you're actually, and we can get into this in a bit, in a moment, is you're actually biologically becoming your future self by doing this inner work. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. Mm-hmm. So it's about, as I said, bringing it in through, you know, through the movie and these other activities. But then I get people to start actually acting out. So who would that future self be? Who would that future self be if they were, you know, a musician that produced, you know, music that changes people's lives, or, you know, uplifts them? Who would that politician be that comes in and creates radical change that allows us to all be free and empowered again, self-sovereign? You know, there's a couple of examples, but what would that person think? How would that person move? What would that person wear? And so it's just about playing around with it. And it's about conditioning yourself. It's about becoming really familiar with the unfamiliar, and just starting to tease that out, becoming more and more comfortable with it. Because as I said before, if you had the right messaging and subconscious programming, you would already be fulfilling your purpose. You would already be a full expression of yourself. So at the moment, if you're not a full expression of yourself and living your purpose and enjoying your ideal life, then essentially you've got programs that are limiting you in some way. And so it's about, well, we need to change those. And how do we change those? We need to start to do the inner work And again, I can talk about this in deep in more depth. And the inner work involves modifying your thoughts. It's also practicing emotional self-management, so how you feel moment to moment, what you believe to be true about life, and also about the behavior choices and the actions that you take. And so to be able to sort of start to modify those programs, it's really about getting conscious of your thoughts. And when I think of thoughts, I also think of words, behaviors, actions, same as behaviors really, beliefs and feelings. So it's about tying all of those in and starting to make those inner changes, because until you make those inner changes, you're pretty much just going to get more of the same. And a lot of people try to change their life by going and getting a new job, or, you know, going from one relationship to the next relationship, or just going on a new diet, or changing locations. But the thing is, they actually haven't done any inner work to have shifted any actual change within themselves. And so consequently, they just end up running into the same unwanted scenarios, the same patterns keep repeating in their lives. And until that inner work changes, until that inner work occurs, you just end up with the same. So acting out who you want to be in the future is a way of starting to get that ball rolling. And that's really important. So that's another part of the book. And I also incorporate different processes that assist you to remove any subconscious resistance. And that involves seeding or taking that goal that you want to achieve and seeding it directly into the subconscious mind in a language that it understands. And also when you build the movie and you incorporate the affirmations, or if you create the vision board and you have affirmations on that, you want to make sure that you don't have any subconscious resistance around the affirmation you've chosen, because consciously, you might not think that you do, but at a subconscious level, you may well have some resistance. And if you have the resistance around that affirmation or around that goal, essentially that resistance won't allow you to actually consciously create it. So you end up bringing in scenarios that almost cause you to self-sabotage. So there's kind of these blocks. It's almost like having... If you want to consciously create something, it's almost like having a team of tug of war on one end of the rope. So you want everyone, as many people as you can, on your side versus the other side. And it doesn't matter how big and strong five people are versus 95. Chances are the 95 are going to pull the others over. So you want as many people on that same side as you are assisting you with what you consciously want to create. And so that's really about going into those subconscious programs.
Wow. And I'm sorry I didn't even interact or anyway, because I was mesmerized by what you were saying. It was so lovely. But I am sitting there looking at the clock thinking, we're getting a bit low on time now.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe how quickly it goes. It's amazing.
But I wanted to put out there, look, you can pre-order the book, which is Imagineer Your Ultimate Future by Kylie Atwell. You can pre-order it on Amazon now, but it comes out November the 5th. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. But pre-order it now and get it in, and it will get straight out to you as soon as it's released in November the 5th. And it's called Imagine Your Ultimate Future by Kylie Atwell. I have got one of the early copies. How special am I? I can assure you, like I said, I haven't got into all that. I was reading it when I was on holidays, and I have my little granddaughter with me, so I couldn't do a lot of the work I want to do on it. And it was like, no, because I can't do the work now, I'm not in the right headspace for it. Yeah. I want to put it down and do it when I can do it. So the next holiday, when there's not the little granddaughter, I'm going to be able to do it then, because I think it's just a great time to give yourself that space to do it, because it is a workbook. It's not a sit down and read it and you'll feel all la la la. It's an actual workbook, which is what I really like. You really get something out of it. You pay the money, you get something out of it. And the only person who can stop you getting something out of it is yourself, because it's all in here. And it's amazing. Start creating that ultimate future. That's what I reckon. I started a long time ago, and I'm living it. I'm nearly, not fully in it at the moment. There's just one more element. And it's funny because I was talking to a friend after you said this, after you said it now, but I was talking to a friend today and I've said to her, there's just one more element I've got to let go of. And I know it's a deep-seated one, and I know it's coming up, if that makes sense. I know I'm allowing it to be released, but it hasn't come through yet. And just even being aware of it, saying, well, okay, that's what's stopping me. Allow that to come through. Allow those little signs to come through and let me work through it so I can let that go. And that is because I work part-time. I want to let that go and just work in my business. That's my goal. But it's letting go of that regular finances that comes in every week. It's so challenging for me to let go. But I know I'm going to do it. I know I'm going to do it. And like you say, you have that feeling. And every time something happens, like the workshop I did last night comes through and it's like, wow, that's where I want to be. It feels so right. I know it's right. I know that's where I'm meant to be. And I know, you just know it's going to happen, and it's such a nice feeling.
Absolutely. And also too, Susan Jane, I just want to reiterate what you were saying there is that none of this happens overnight. Like, it's a transitional process. You're actually, you know, doing this, just even the envisaging work, you're actually conditioning yourself for the future. You're in training for you to actually be able to live that future. As I said, otherwise you'd already be living it. So you've got to do that work to actually do it. And you're going to have these, you know, things like a part-time job is like a safety net, which, you know, you're still kind of holding on to, but, and that's okay, because the more confidence you build in yourself, the more unfamiliar you become with the process, the more that you actually see that this work actually achieves results, and that you trust it, then you will start to let go. And and as I said, it takes time, and that's why I really wanted to write, you know, this book as well as the rest of the series. Because it's one thing to know what you consciously want to create, but then it's a whole other thing to actually get there. And it is a process, and it's not just about jumping off the cliff like they say tell you to. There's a lot of inner work that and look, you do need to kind of do that at some point, but you have to
take that leap of faith every now and again, don't you?
Exactly. But when you've done the inner work, it just, you know, you're kind of already building your own safety net, because you have true belief and confidence and trust, not only in yourself, but in the process too. Yeah. And also too, you know, really, because after this book, so once you've got your vision clear, it's then about addressing the emotions that, and the fears, the doubts, the negative self-talk that's holding you back from actually, you know, stepping into that fully. And that's obviously where you're at, Susan Jane, is, you know, what is those fears that's still surrounding, you know, that need for that safe and regular income. And so when you address those, then that will make the transition, you know, swifter and quicker again.
Yeah, that's when you can leap.
Exactly. Yeah. And also too, another component of it is taking, so once you've done this inner work, that's when you can let go, because that's when you go, right, I've actually done all the groundwork. And the beauty of creating not just this vision, well, this is part of it. So basically, when you activate your vision, what you actually end up doing is you're actually engaging an entire creative force around this that then actually brings opportunities to you. So you don't necessarily, you still need to do work. There's no question. You still need to take steps towards it, but you don't need to go out and make it all happen all by yourself. By doing this inner work, by you becoming that future self, that's when the universe conspires and actually brings opportunities to you. So life becomes so much easier. So, you know, as we're just saying, Susan Jane, like the more you do this, the more you release that emotional wounding or trauma or fears, that then will shift something that will then allow more income to come through that you wouldn't even, you know, need that part-time job anymore. And a big part of this vision is helping you just to even raise your emotional like emotional vibration in the meantime, because the next step after this really is addressing more those fears, doubts, negative self-talk, any emotional trauma, because that's what weighs you down and keeps you stuck. So the combination of the vision, embodying the vision, as well as that emotional release work is honestly the key to the to the really, really upping the ante.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And again, it's sort of feeling I don't want to jump until I'm ready to jump, and I'm quite happy to jump. In all honesty, I could give up my job now and be doing this, because financially I can do that. I don't feel I'm ready for that. And one of the other aspects is, it's not that I'm worried about not getting the money in. I'm actually, my concern is more about, I do this, I do the podcast and all that because I love it.
Yes.
And I don't want it to have to be my income.
Yes.
And that's why I've sort of kept them separate. And as it grows and as it develops, I know it will naturally take on that form. And then I have that leap of faith and it's fine. But it's knowing, like you say, knowing yourself, knowing what's going on, and sort of just acknowledging and saying, okay, well, there's stuff there. There's shit happening here. Am I going to go in and get that checked? But I will go in and get that checked when it sits right with me, because I know then that's the perfect time to do it. If I'm trying to do it when it's not, and it's like you said earlier, you get your vision, you get your understanding, and then you want to jump in and do it. Well, no, we've just got to take it step by step and allow it to evolve as it goes. And, I've got to that stage today. It was just really funny. I said, yeah, I know there's one more thing I've got to do, but I'm happy where I'm going at the moment. Yeah. You know, the work is like, it's irritating me. It's like that, you need to get out of that job. But I've also learned so much, and it's actually helped me in this aspect. So yeah, it's lovely how it goes on, but we are getting a little bit on time. I want to actually put forward again, so you can get Kylie's book by Kylie Atwell. It's Imagineer Your Ultimate Future. You can pre-order it now at on Amazon. So jump in and get that done, and you won't miss out, because I reckon they're going to sell out pretty quickly, and she's going to have to put in another order. Sorry, Kylie, it's going to happen.
Thank you.
But any last words before we say goodbye? What would you like to say?
Oh, goodness. I'm lost for words. I think I've all spoken out, but honestly, whether it's you know, through my book or through another process, it doesn't matter. But getting really clear about, you know, what you want to create in your reality, as I said, gives you hope for the future. It raises your vibration emotionally, and just anchors you, in that future. It makes it real, and that is what will actually bring it to fruition. So I truly encourage you to design your life, and you can't go wrong.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much. And thank you for being on the show again. It was really good. I just love it. I think you give out so much information, and you do it so nicely. Sometimes I sort of get a little bit all over the place, but you're so calming.
Oh,
it's beautiful. That's really lovely. All right, guys, stay on the line, Kylie, because if people want to contact Kylie too, jump on the website. So it is www.aguideforlife.com. Really easy. Even I could spell that one. Aguideforlife.com. We so much for me being an author too. I'm a hopeless fella. All right. So that's Kylie. I'm going to say goodbye, Kylie. Thank you so much. I'll just do the final stuff that we have to do. And then so stay on the line so we can chat after it.
I will. I just want to say thank you to everyone for being here, and thank you so much, Susan Jane, for the opportunity. It was amazing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. How can we not enjoy it? Oh, my goodness, she's so calming and just so easy to get along with. And as I said to you earlier, you know, when you get the book and you get these lovely little notes with it, handwritten notes, And there's something about handwritten that we just take for granted now. You know, we took for granted in those days after with all the computers and everything else. But jump on Amazon, pre-order the book, Imagine Your Ultimate Future by Kylie Atwell, and you won't look back. Give yourself time and space to do it because you're going to get so much out of it. It's just incredible. But that is it for today. Subscribe if you like the show, even if you don't like it, subscribe anyway. No, don't do that. I have, like I said, just done some new small workshops with the Art of Intuition intuitive art reading workshops. I did it for a football team, would you believe, a women's football team, and they loved it. So I'm taking it now to corporate as well, because we can start to work on our goals and how we can motivate the team to get us going. So jump on online at theartofintuition.com.au, it is Australian business, and you can see what all the workshops are all about. Otherwise, we will see you next week. And I have got a few new guests. I've got a bit of a surprise coming up too. We've got a man coming on as a guest. So that's a little bit exciting. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to look at a man's point of view as far as intuition goes. So that'll be good. But that's it. I've talked too much. Got to go. See you all soon. And, stay safe. And we look forward to seeing you soon. I'll see you. Bye for now.